Nekolosa klekiato. Mandele broste vera pachivratos de me. That place has never been in question, says the Spirit of grace. That place that I hold you as an individual, son or daughter of God, it's never been in question of how much I love you. Understand this with all your heart or all that you're capable of, and the place and what you're going through this morning, that I desire you past your faults and your failures. I love you beyond anything that you can do for me, saith the Spirit of grace. I hold you in the highest of regards always. How could I forget he who have tattooed on the palms of my hands, saith the Spirit of grace. Oh, know that there's not ever been even one that's passed from this life, even into eternal judgment, that I did not love them all the way to the end and past that place of judgment. Oh, that you would understand that my heart reaches out to you further than your heart reaches out to me. I desire you beyond all description of your ability to describe what love is. I desire to raise you up and to give you a hope beyond all hope, that you're able to go forth in this life and stand on the other side of your tests and trials and victories. There is a hope in me. There is a hope in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of this hope, Father, Lord, we pray for this surrounding region. We join with every other house of prayer across the United States and in our state, every other place where people are lifting up God. We call for a change of revival. Lord, we pray that you'll empty them off the streets of Immokalee and bring them in here. Lord, we pray for the homosexual, for the lesbian, for the deviant, for those who've gone astray. Lord, let them come into this place and feel your love. Father, for those who have gone astray and backslidden, Lord, let them come into this place and feel your unconditional love. We love you, Father. We pray revival begins in a place of hope, a place of restoration, a place of renewal. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. May they find this place in all grace in you. Lord, we worship you. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. Jesus. Jesus. Mandele borosa le creste. Yes, sir. I saw a brief grace line after that. He said, if you are in here this morning and you've been battling and it feels like really hopeless, that what is your greatest nemesis or what is your greatest trial in life seems like to you, you just don't see how it'll ever change based on the history of the past. He wants to change some hope in here this morning in a real quick fashion. So if that's you, just step forward. If you're having a battle with hope, like it doesn't seem like whatever you're going through will change, come on and stand up here, because I know that's some of you. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's good to be obedient. All right. All of you that come, I can tell you he's going to change this situation. He's going to start inside. Just come up and stand along the front, shoulder to shoulder. What is this, Father? We praise you. We give you all the glory. We magnify you. Well, there's two ways to receive your miracle. One, you can receive it the best way. The premium is instantaneous. And He gave it to you because it's an inheritance. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it by telling you've got to go through. Boy, we teach a whole regimen around here, fasting and praying and a whole lot of things to grow you up. But I can tell you His very best. He never told anybody before He laid hands on them, go get on a fast and come back and I'll heal you in 60 days. He never told anybody, hey, I mean, the Holy Spirit will tell you how to clean your body up, stop eating a lot of fast foods and killing yourself deliberately. He'll tell you how to do all that. But He never told anybody, hey, go get on a diet and in 60 days come back and I'll heal you. He just did it then. Through grace. That's the same way He does it now. Through His grace, through His shed blood. But guess what? When you stand in that place and the pain doesn't go away instantly, or the check doesn't come in tomorrow, or the kids don't straighten up overnight, well, then you're in a war. And you don't do anything like to reinforce grace, like, okay, I got to go do this, and then maybe it'll earn me brownie points with God. If I start fasting, then God will see it, and then He'll really know I'm serious. No, if you can receive it now, receive it now. But if you're in a war, guess what? Stand. And we've got a plan. He's got a plan. We just did 15, and I don't think we're done, 15 full life messages on Faith 101. And I can tell you, it'll tell you, if you do it, it'll keep you from dying. It'll cause you to live. It'll cause you to walk out of anything that you're going through. So if you can get it now. But guess what? If the pain don't go away, then we got plan two, which is to stand. And there's a way to stand and not just sit in front of the TV and watch TV like a zombie. Oh, He's going to come one day and heal my body. Oh, no. No, if you're in a war and you're zombieing out, there's nothing. You're going to be a zombie 5 years from now, or a zombie until you die. You just, unless you begin to enter into grace. It's also grace, but it's the next step of grace. It's the part where you begin to do something and say, oh, I don't believe that I'm going to die. I don't believe I'm going to stay depressed. I choose to come out of this thing. I choose to come out of it. Well, I want the grace part. I just don't want to do anything about it. Good. Well, then get it right now. But if you go home and it's still there, then guess what? I got plan two for you. That's the standing part. And the standing part has everything to do with you. If you didn't hear that, I'll say it again. It has everything to do with you. You got to do something. Well, I can't. Why? Because I can't. You know what? I've visited people recently. Not anybody here. I'm not even talking. They're just too sick to pray. They're too sick to spend the long hours. Guess what? You can get to a place like that where you can't even hardly think. Did you know that's why the genius of the Holy Ghost, I wanted to say invented, but He wasn't invented. Because when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a prayer that takes it completely out of your mind. You can sit there like this, almost autistic looking, and just zombie out and pray in tongues. What are you doing? You're praying for your deliverance. You're praying for your deliverance. I want it now. I'll do too. But if you're going to die, then stop dying and stop zombieing. Or if you're going to zombie, then zombie like this. Change your world. Change your world. Change it. Choose not to die. You know what, devil? I just don't think I'm going to die today. How about that? Aren't you scared he'll come and get you? Listen, the word says that in Ezekiel, in the day that he was created perfect until iniquity was found in him. But you know what? The part about that I like is this. He was created. He's not a quadruple. He's not the fourth member of the Godhead. We don't have one member of the Godhead fighting against the other three members of the Godhead. We've got a created being. A fallen created. There was not a fourtuplets. We create him, talk about him, and create an aura about him like he's one of the fallen members of the Godhead. This guy was created just like you. And if you will ever understand it, he's under your feet. He's under your feet. Hallelujah. Well, you prayed for me, the grace line and the alley's still there. I know then to go home and stop zombieing. But if you do zombie like this. Well, you're being silly. That's the best way to do it. And just every once in a while, just so he don't think that you think that he's going to keep you depressed or financially broke or despairing or the pain in the back. Just speak up every once in a while and say, hey, Satan. Well, you're going to get him to come to my house. Oh, no, he's already at your house. If you don't want to talk about him, he's already there. He's got you scared. He's not a member of the Godhead. He didn't fall. There was not four thrones. There's only three. There's only two thrones, and the Holy Spirit's glorifying the other two members of the Godhead. Listen, just remind him every once in a while. Just, I'm going to give you a courtesy call. Hey, devil, did you know that Jesus is alive on the inside of me? And I call myself whole. I want to tell you all day long that I am whole. And when the pain increases, just laugh at him and tell him, listen, have I told you lately? You know the old song, have I told you lately that I love you? When you're mad about the pain, remind him, listen, this is going to go away. And I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. You're going to spend eternity in hell, not you. Sorry, buddy. Pick on somebody else. Hallelujah. What about when we get there? Isn't it going to be something? I think one of my favorite strange things are wonderful, it freaks me out. The Bible says that when we get there, he's going to give you a new name that no man knows. He's going to give you a new name that no other man knows. In other words, it's a secret between you and him. And I don't know how, I mean, there's almost 7 billion. We're going on 7 billion plus all the ages prior. How he's going to give us all? I don't know. I don't have the scripture on this, but I know what's in my heart. I rename all of my babies and my grandkids. They got pet names. He's going to give everyone, you still may keep your old one, I don't know, but he's going to give you a new name. The word says in the book of Revelation that no man knows. No other man. It's a secret. He's going to look at you one day. He's going to say, Pookie. Come here, Pookie. Come here. Or Snookum. I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. And he's not going to talk about all your failures. He's not going to talk about all the times you felt doubt and fear. He's just going to say, now everybody's going to call you this in heaven because I just nicknamed you this. Hey, Pookie. I knew you could do it. Because why? Oh, he's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. Hallelujah. Terry, would you stand up? I'm so glad to have Terry with us this morning. Is it okay for you to come up here? Sure. I like that. Hallelujah. Lisa, why don't you come up too? Because we want to have the sponsors of miracles. How many of you love Lisa and her family? Now,
testing. You guys, you requested prayer for Terry almost a year ago. You said?
Yeah, September the 5th, 2012.
Why don't you tell us a little bit?
Well, Terry's a friend of our family for years and years and years. And we got a call that he had been in an accident and that it didn't look good. And that we needed to pray. So we started praying. And Pastor Bronk prayed over a prayer cloth, and I sent it. And they attached it to his... I know he had it.
Yeah, attached. When I woke up.
Yeah, he was in a coma for 35 days.
35 days.
And when he woke up, he had his prayer cloth. And all I got was good reports after that. So
Terry, tell us... what happened, and then everything that happened after that, as far as your body, or the condition you were in?
Like Lisa said, I was in an accident. I got hit by a car and slid down the highway. And I was on a little motor scooter, and I wasn't had any helmet or boots or nothing on. But I was laying there, and I didn't think I was going to make it. And I even asked the policeman to shoot me. Because I was in so much pain, and I asked God to let me see my children one more time, because you never know when it's over. And I was sorry for everything I ever done, you know. And I went into the coma. They gave me a sedated coma. I come out 35 days later, and I had a. My neck was broken, so they gave me the halo on my head with the screws holding it in my head, and I had a chest vest, a trachea in my neck. My leg was, three doctors looked at it, two of them wanted to amputate it, because they didn't know if I was going to be paralyzed or not. One doctor refused, said, we're going to try to save his leg. And as you can see now, I'm getting around on it pretty good, and I'm not paralyzed. I felt a lot of comfort through that prayer cloth when I woke up that I had, and I can't describe the feeling. It was hope, and I felt people were surrounding me, and I remember after having it every day I had this thing, and I guess I had went out to one of my tests or something. I come back and it was gone, and it made me angry. I was looking for it now. But I guess one of the nurses took it, and I'd call Lisa. They took my prayer cloth. I don't know what I'm going to do now. But ever since then, you know, I have decided to try to live a lot better life and send my message that God wants me to do. Why he wanted me here, I have no clue. Do I deserve it? There's a lot of people that I think in my own mind that do. But I'm here today for some reason. And... I was drawn to come here to thank everybody here in the pastor in this church for being supporting everybody that prays, like you said. I'm really been blessed, and I just want to thank God and all my friends and family and the support I have from the church. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Well, as he gave thanks to the Father and to us for the support, would you please stand and lift your hands and give glory to God, the one who raises the dead. Father, we worship you and glorify you. We praise and exalt you. We praise and magnify you. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. We praise you. 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 praise you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are so worthy, Father. We do praise you. Thank you for this wonderful report. You raise the dead. You heal the sick. You're still alive, Father. We praise and glorify you. Blessed be the Lamb forever. Blessed be the Lamb forever. Praise and honor. Praise and glory. Praise and glory. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. How can we praise you enough? We praise you, Jesus. We lift our hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. We do that one more time. We lift our gaze at one that Candy was saying was so wonderful. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you. We're just going to worship just a little bit more before we greet each other, but just worship through this. You can stand, sit or stand if you get, but just magnify the Lord. He is so worthy. Makaraso. We're going to greet each other for a few moments. We're not going to be here all day, but we're enjoying our time here. Don't go any place during this intermission. We're just wanting you to greet each other. Give Terry a great big hug, and there's several more we haven't seen in a while. Give him a great big hug. God bless you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. Isn't he wonderful? I want to continue to tell you that Pastor Dave will be here in November for a week of power and miracles and just intimacy and praise God. We're going to have a good time. Hallelujah. Another friend of mine is going to be here. I haven't set up the dates, but he contacted me. He's just going to be here for probably one day, maybe a Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm not sure, but his name's Michael O'Brien. Matt and I met him at a conference a number of years ago at Prayer and Power Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We got a chance to talk to him in the back or over the side of the auditorium. He's a walking miracle. And just to, you know how I was talking about earlier? And let me finish that up. If you're going through something, I mean, if you're going through the test and trial of your life, I would just, not because it's me, I don't get anything out of this other than the joy of knowing that you're listening, but go to bronkflint.org and go on to series teachings. Is that how they go? As soon as it comes on, you'll see series teachings, and you hit series teachings and go over, and you'll see Faith 101, Faith Series 101, and it's there. And you can listen to it on your laptop. You can listen to it on your iPhone. You just hit the MP3 part of it, and it'll start streaming right then. The messages are not long. There's 15 of them, about an hour a piece or 45 minutes a piece, but they are a methodical step-by-step of the how-tos, just like you went to class, and the how-tos beginning with one particular verse, and we stayed on that verse for weeks. We didn't get scattered around. The Holy Spirit helped us to stay very focused. And the how-tos of how to just build your faith and walk in divine faith to get you to a place where you can walk out of literally anything that's hopeless in your life. And so I would encourage all of you, even if you're not going through the trial of your life and you've not been able to be a part of these messages, 15 messages, they're very, very, very powerful. And that's Faith Series 101. Michael O'Brien was a man I said that we met, and he's a walking miracle. He pastored a church, and he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And there was a tumor on his brain, and he didn't know how to handle that. You know, it was like he knew faith. He probably taught a whole bunch of faith himself. And yet he wanted to know, you know, what God's plan was for him at that particular time. I am a firm believer in you fight anything, any way possible to win. Win to fight for another day. Go, if God tells you He's one that will direct you. If your faith is at a place where you need divine direction as far as divine supernatural touch, he's going to be the one that brings that, obviously. But he'll also minister to you medically. He'll work through doctors. He'll do everything he can because Jesus loves people. He loves people. Well, in this particular case, Michael, who is coming to talk to us, Michael Bryan, he's a very powerful man, still teaching, doesn't pastor that particular church anymore, but helps pastor at another place where his son-in-law and daughter teach and minister in Canada. But he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was going to be obviously terminal. And he said that he wouldn't make the decision on his own because he felt like it wasn't his alone to make, you know, whether or not he was going to go for chemo or just fight it out blatant faith. And so he went before his family. He set his kids down. He set his wife down. He said, look, this is it. You know, I'm either going to die or else I'm going to be able to walk out of this thing. So either I fight it, they're going to do an operation, they want to do an operation, they want to go inside my head, inside my skull. That's not always a good thing, but we've seen miracles that happen. Praise God, Sharon. And so he said, this is what I want to do. This is in my heart. I want to blatantly fight it out. I believe God can take me past this completely. These are modern day miracles. And I know people that receive modern day miracles, not just the book of Acts. I know people who have walked out using or receiving God's power and also medical power, and the end result was they're healed. And that's all that matters. Praise God. And so, but I tell you these kinds of things because they are alive today. He told Matt and I, he goes, I remember, see, here's the thing. A lot of people will make that kind of stand, and then they give God a black eye. Well, you really can't give God a black eye, but you can make his reputation seem so bad. Because here's the deal. If you say, I'm going to stand on faith, well, then you've got to do something then. You've made a stand, but then you can't just watch TV or, you know, play golf or do whatever you want to do. If you're going to make a blatant stand, then you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Otherwise, if you're not going to spend the time in prayer and fasting and confession, then go to a doctor. Because if you're not going to do the other, then you'll probably die. And that's not being mean, you're just, you know, with those kind of situations. But he said, I went in, and he had the time. So he said, I spent 6, 7, 8 hours a day walking the floor. He wasn't receiving any medical attention. I call that thing dead. Jesus, you bore in your body my infirmities. I speak to that thing. I tell you. See, now he's not changing God's mind. There's no way. Fasting doesn't change God's mind. You say, well, I fasted and I got it. God wanted you to have it before you fasted. Well, who does it change then? It changes me. It changes me. Kills the part in me that didn't believe before I started. So he walked the floor. He said, he told Matt and I, he goes, I remember when it changed from natural hope to inward hope. It just dropped. You know, we can say stuff with our mouth and, you know, still don't get it. You know, we still people, and a lot of preachers have made a stand and they die and people go, oh God, how can I trust God? I mean, preacher so-and-so, he said he was going to stand on him. Well, listen, if you make the stand, then you got to do what's necessary to make the stand. And so you got to pay that kind of price. Well, he paid that kind of price. And he said, I know the day when it changed. It just changed from just head faith to heart faith, and it was done. Amen. Do you know that he got after that, he got a clean bill of health. That thing dissolved. That tumor in the brain left. Just by the power of God. Praise God. So he's going to come and give us that testimony as well. Aren't you glad Jesus still does modern miracles? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I worship you, Jesus. I give you all the praise and all the glory. You are so worthy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I need some of my women of faith. I want to identify who that is, but any of you that feel the urge now, please come. Just stand right here and face me. Come on, ladies. Please. Please. Divinaci mato lo sono. The rest of you, you may not hear exactly what I say to these ladies, but I can tell you, we we're believing for a miracle right now. Now, whether medicine gets involved in the other part of this, that's fine. That's incidental, and we receive that as well. But right now, I can feel His grace and His anointing for this purpose. They have come here for this purpose today for a miracle. And we're going to limit this time for this miracle to take place. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Lord, we receive. Oh God, I'm so thankful to know You. Cancer, in Jesus' name, I curse you. And I command every rogue cell of you dissolved in the name of Jesus. I command you from this hour to begin to dry and to die. That which is impossible with man is possible with God, and I release the possibilities, all the possibilities now. Cancer, I command you, leave this woman's body now by the grace of Almighty God and by the blood of the risen Lamb in Jesus' name. Receive that life. Receive that life. Let the fire of God be in your belly. Father, I'm reminded of how Gary Carpenter walked out of the initial report of the cancer that he had, that the next report was not nearly as severe. So now we're asking you for a far better report on this next visit. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, this man of God, that you strengthen him, that you strengthen him all the way down. When he lies down his head and he raises up, as he walks his house, as he thinks about the future and the possibilities, come, intermingle yourself with your life inside of him. Father, in Jesus' name, I release your life and strength to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Makadesa hichakata sono. Mehichika vodostene. Hallelujah. Later on, when we go out of here, greet all the new faces or people that you see, that we give their names and call them. We love you, Jesus. 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 We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blind see and the lame walk. We say that Immokalee is in revival. We say that this region of Florida is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. Brokenhearted are healed. Thousands and thousands are born again in this outpouring. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Makare se ne dia. Matthew 5, 6, 7. I think it was 6. Yes. There were certain winds. They weren't ifs. They were winds. There was a when you pray. Jesus gave instruction for when you pray. He wasn't talking about the mediocre prayer that you prayed over your meal. He was talking about the real kind of prayer that changes things and goes in to really a life of prayer. So it wasn't left up to, well, should I pray? It wasn't if I should pray, it's when. So you develop a place, a private place. But he gave instruction for that. We love to teach on prayer around here. But I can tell you this, blatantly, it'll be a cold day in hell when the amount of hours that you spend in prayer is the prerequisite for you to get from God what he's already done. Like, I'm going to spend a whole bunch, then he's going to be pleased. He's watching a time clock, and then he's going to give me. But Jesus talked about the prayer that didn't have vain repetition with it. Well, if there's a vain repetition, then there's a right kind of repetition. There's the kind that comes out of the heart, out of the new nature. But that was one of the wins. The other one, please don't run me out of town. There was three wins. They weren't three ifs. They were just, you just did them. It was up to you to decide when to did them. The other win was fasting. He said, when you do this, not if you do it. It wasn't an if, it was a when. So you scheduled it. You made it part of your life. It'll be a cold day in hell. When fasting in and of itself, just going without food, is the prerequisite for you to get from God what he's already did on the cross. Well, then who does it change? I fasted, Pastor, 3 days or 5 days or 10 days, and I got what I wanted from God. I finally talked him into it. Are you kidding me? He who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Well, who? What does it change? It changes me. It changes me. Jesus said, I'm going away. When I go away, you will fast. It is, you're not going to. Well, you could if you want to live a powerless life. You want to have everything run over you like a you know, steam shovel just run over you. But the other win was when you fast. You make it up. You decide, I'm going to live. But it doesn't change God. It changes you. Well, I fasted 3 days. I don't want to fast, Pastor, because every time I fast, I get ugly and mean. No, darling, you were already ugly and mean. All that stuff just started coming up. That was already in there. I don't like to fast because then I discover stuff comes on me. No, it don't come on you. It comes out of you. It's already there. And it's the thing that was blocking what you were asking God for and all the time. But see, most of the body, God bless them, they're happy to be ignorant. They're just happy to be ignorant. They're happy not for them to know what it is that's stopping their prayers. They're miserable about their prayers not being answered, but they're happy about not knowing what it is on the inside of them that keeps stopping it. The anger, the malice, the unbelief, the temper tantrums, the grudges, the jealousy, the strife, the love of money, the greed. They don't know. Well, they are his child. Yes, yes, yes. And he'll go as far, he'll almost reach past contemptibility. He'll just reach and reach and reach and try to get something over to them, even through their faults. And every once in a while, he'll squeeze what he can through there to you. But it doesn't change him for you to fast. It's that part of us that's not grown up. It's that flesh. When we start fasting, it's that two-year-old on the inside of us. I've got a couple of two-year-old grandkids right now, and I'm loving the pieces out of them, and we're spoiling them. But I'm telling you, it's the perfect epitome of what the flesh is to the spirit. Do you know, as long as you don't go against the flesh will just pacify you and walk with you wherever you want it to go. But you stand up to it. A few weeks ago, I wanted Josiah to go with me someplace he couldn't go, and it wasn't the plans of the family, so his Nana and me were going to keep him overnight, which we do probably once a week anyway. So his mama was going to meet us someplace, and I was feeling sorry for him and for myself because he wasn't going to go away with Papa. So when he got to where I was at, there was a local Walmart right there. We were in the parking lot of the Walmart, in fact. So I said, Jojo is what I call him. Jojo, Papa's going to buy you a toy. Well, that suited him fine. So I took him in there, and I wasn't telling him he wasn't going to get to go with us. I just was like, I'm going to lavish my love on him. And so he's just a typical two-year-old. And so we went down the aisles, and his mama was with us, Nana. And so I said, what do you want, buddy? You can. So he picks out, he loves cars, you know. He's a typical boy, and no baby dolls for him, you know. And Bronx are not the grandfather of young men that like baby dolls. So Jojo picks out, you know, he picks out, he couldn't get a $5 gift. He wanted a $17 car, you know. So that's okay, because he's my grandson, you know, because he's happy, man. He's so happy, and it's so cute. He had that thing under his little arm like this. He's going to the cash register, and he's leading his mama and me and Nana, and he's like, he knows he's got to go pay for it, but he knows Papa's paying for it. It's under his arm just like this. He's walking up to it. So then we take him out to dinner, and he gets chocolate milk, and he don't even have to eat his meal. He just drinks the chocolate milk, and that's spoiling him. You know, and we didn't go against anything. And then Nana says, well, we're right here at Bass Pro. You know how he loves the fish tank. So we take him over to Bass Pro, and he loves that fish tank. He'll just sit there, and then he loves to control the elevator. So I go in the elevator with him, and we're up and down the elevator, and hi, Nana, and go back and forth. And we're just in there forever until I say it's time to go home. Because he's loving the fish tank. Every few minutes, we got it, whether we're upstairs, downstairs, we got to go over to the fish tank. And he climbs on the rocks. The whole evening, as long as I keep giving him what he wants, he's perfectly fine. Your flesh is perfectly fine until you have to discipline it. When I said we got to go home, his mom had already warned us, watch out when you try to leave. I had to literally carry him to the car. And he's kicking like this. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And it was that way, you know, we were thinking, oh, God, I hope it don't come to, you know, the next level. I don't like to do that. I like, you know, that grandparents are the funnest part of your life because you can spoil them and leave all the discipline to the parents. That's so cool. So I didn't quite go to that, thank God. But your flesh, it doesn't. It's okay. And you don't know that the little two-year-old on the inside of you is keeping you from getting what you're asking God for. But there's rebellion there. There's discussions with God like, okay, I believe you can, but then what if you don't? Fasting will take care of all that because it kills you. Did you know there's another win? Three wins, not three ifs, but three wins. He said, when you give. There's supposed to be a part of your life that is a continual part of you giving out. And he was talking about money. He says alms, giving, financial giving. It actually becomes a part of your worship. He goes on in that same chapter. He says, you cannot lay up for yourself treasures on this earth where moth and rust and thieves come in and corrupt and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where none of those things. He spoke about when you pray, like as a matter of fact, that's what you're supposed to be doing. He talked about when you fast, that's a matter of fact, it's not an if. And when you give, in other words, it's supposed to be a part, a continual part of your life, something that you're giving out. He said, don't be like those who lay up treasures on this earth, but lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust or any of these things can corrupt, For he said this, where a man's heart is, there his treasure will be also. In other words, wherever, whatever you're looking at the most, whatever you're desiring the most. And he says, look, he continued on in that same chapter, talked about the whole rest of it was on the context of what had your heart in this life, whether you were really able to give it or could you release it. Now, we have a Friday night thing that we confess, Lord, if you need anything, come to my house first. And I say that, but then I realize, man, he's still killing. Because how much of me still would hold on to anything that he laid and come in? Could he come into any nest egg that I had or anything that I had set back or anything that I thought was a little bit of a security? Could he really, truly, unequivocally lay his hand on it and say, I'd like that? Could I trust him like that? Well, I don't know. I mean, I've given up. I've laid down my nets, per se, what I did financially years ago. But I can tell you this. He didn't have to say what he said the next. He said this. He's taking over right now for me. Just a minute. Listen. What I desire more than anything else for you as individuals to know who I am as your Heavenly Father. I desire for you to know that all things are possible through me and that I'm able to get into those places where you lack and supply that lack according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So rejoice in an hour where it looks like things are not going to work for you financially. Rejoice in a place where I'm able to bring about, even as I do in the things of the physical, I'm able to do in the things of the financial, saith the Spirit of God. So lift up and rejoice in these things, saith the Spirit. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, either you'll serve one and love the one, or hate the one and love the other. And he specifically said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And then he said, right after that, he said, take no thought. Take no thought. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. So you say, well, I sure enough don't serve the stuff. Did you know what I said, what I was about to say before he interrupted what I was going to say was, sometimes we don't even equivocate, like we'll say, he said, don't love it, because the root of it, Peter said, is the root of the love of it is the root of all evil. But Jesus said this, he said, either you'll love the one and hate the other, you cannot love or serve God and money. And then the next thing he said is, take no thought concerning what you shall put on, what you shall eat. In other words, under the umbrella, and this is the part I was going to say that I sure wish he hadn't said this. Under the umbrella of the love of money, he included taking thought. In other words, what does that mean, Pastor? That means if you begin to worry about the crazy stuff, if it begins to take you over in thought, if you begin to worry about it, he put it under umbrella of the love of it. In other words, it was taking your attention away from the thing that he said, take no thought. Because if your Heavenly Father had the capacity to feed the birds of the air who did not sow, he loves you so much more. He has the capacity to feed you and to keep you and to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So could he come? Could he come and talk to you about any area? Well, I can tell you this. If he does, it's because you have the capacity. You have the capacity to be talked to. You have the capacity to yield your heart to him in the things of giving. So there was three winds. There was prayer and fasting. And the other one was giving up your heart in worship as in giving. So how many of you know, wave at me if you know, that giving is a part of worship? Hallelujah. It really is. Hallelujah. So I think this will be it. But you know what? I'll tell you another thing. You know what true giving is? Most people, like in prayer, most, and I'll hate almost to say that word most, but I'm saying as a body of Christ, the body of Christ, we had a couple of messages here recently on it, and I'll talk real gingerly on it because it was a precious thing, a very intimate thing. But most of the body has to have a project to go into prayer. In other words, there needs to be some kind of urgency, like, okay, all right, all hands on deck. We got to take care of this. And then everybody will run forward and start praying for something because there's an emergency. You know the prayer that He wants out of your life? If you can get there, just a consistent. Just because there's no, doesn't mean there's anything out there that everybody has to be called all hands on deck. But that you're there seeking Him daily. You know that's the way most people love to give to. Projects. Well, we got a project. We're going to add this on. Or pastor's going to go over here. Or we're going to go over there. And people step forward and they'll start, okay, I'll give to that because we're going to do this in the church or we're going to do that in the church. And I appreciate it. Sometimes He'll tell me to mention. I mentioned a need Wednesday night. And I believe it's all going to come in. But you know what's far better than project giving? The giving of a consistent heart that says, okay, I'm listening. I'm listening to my Heavenly Father. He told me when I pray, when I fast, and when I give. So I'm just going to listen, and He's going to set me in a course where for the rest of my life, it's not an if, it's a when. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest day that you'll ever come to is when you start giving. Not because somebody put something in front of you and said, okay, we're going to raise enough money now to put a left wing on the church, or we're going to send pastor to Africa, or we're going to start a soup kitchen. But you just give because you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. That's true maturity. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time today? Amen. Praise God. I almost don't want to take up one because I'm not afraid. I'm just not afraid. Praise God. That's a good place to be in. But Olivia, for your blessings, not for Him to come and bless you, but for you to get to bless Him. Hallelujah. One more time, would you stand? Lift your hands. Boy, did we get a good praise report from Terry today?
Yes.
Man, yes. Hallelujah. Before you leave here this morning, I'm going to ask you, as we worship just a little bit more, I'm going to ask you to ask God what He'd have you to give. And if you don't hear anything, then you can just make it up in your heart if you have something. But rather, if you don't have anything that He tells you, then that's okay. And if you want to give, just choose what that is. But let's just worship the Lord just a little bit more, and then you'll be invited to bring this down. And my goodness, I can't remember when I've been blessed any more than today, just having a good time in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, I bless You. And I give You all the praise and all the glory for all these. For You're so good. Your mercy and grace endures forever. Lord, we just pray right now that You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, thank You for the miracles, beginning with the grace line for all hope. And then going into the bodies and getting things done miraculously. Thank You for it, Father. Now, Lord, we receive this offering. Bring us back again at the appointed time. And we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love all of you. I appreciate you all for coming. Thank you very much. Be blessed. Have a wonderful holiday tomorrow. And if you barbecue on the grill, don't overeat too much. Hallelujah. Just enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. Amen.